The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today. Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst. Always like having Seth on. He goes deep into the Chiefs matchup with the Buccaneers, not just Brady and not just Mahomes, but really in depth. The Chiefs suffering a big injury today. Their left tackle, Eric Fisher, will not play in the Super Bowl, torn Achilles. The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite over Tampa Bay. How much longer does Tom Brady have? Seth and I are both old, so I can joke with Seth about old guys playing football. I thought the games yesterday were, I felt like I could have taken a walk in the second half of the Bills or gone for a hike or ridden my bike in the dark. I just never felt like Buffalo was in that game. And I was surprised that Aaron Rodgers was not able to rally. And today Aaron Rodgers is not sure if he's going to come back or not. And that makes sense. Whenever you ask an athlete that right after the game, are you thinking about coming back or not? I just went through a grind. You know, in the moment, no, I don't want to go through this again. I just lost. And the day after, is Rodgers contemplating retirement? Same deal. You give these guys a few weeks. In fair, it's like Larry Fitzgerald's deal. You know, you've got to let a team know sometime by mid-February at the latest of what you're going to do, because when the new calendar starts for those teams, they've got to know what they have to work with from salary cap standpoint. So you're not going to hear a player in all likelihood today say, I am done, I am finished. It's go take some time, go figure this thing out. You just went through a grind. NFL's a grind, man. These players just get beat up and knocked around and their bodies are banged up and they're like, I don't want to go through this again. So they have to figure it out. So Seth will be with us on all things Super Bowl. Gunnar Cruz is going to be with us on today's show. So Friday, Gunnar Cruz put his name into the transfer portal. Gunnar was a big-time quarterback at Castile High School here in the Valley. Arizona State was recruiting him. Washington State was recruiting him. He went to play for Mike Leach at Washington State. Mike Leach left last year. Gunnar hung in there this year. Put his name in the portal Friday. Saturday morning, I'm talking to assistants saying, hey, man, U of A is really interested in Gunnar Cruz. And by Saturday afternoon, Gunnar Cruz was a Wildcat. So U of A brings in a quarterback. They bring in another high school player that did well in the Valley. Doesn't mean they're going to do well in Tucson, but Jed Fish is clearly going after high school players in Arizona, which makes coaches feel really good. So we'll talk with Gunnar about his decision to play for the U of A. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. I was talking with someone on Saturday out over breakfast, and he said, man, Desert Financial, what a great partner for you. And I said, yeah, they are. They're terrific. Jeff Mishi and their company, they're awesome. And he said, I've been going there for 30 plus years, and that's what they're all about. Desert Financial Credit Union, make sure you check them out. We appreciate their support. All right, so it's Brady and Mahomes, and really, was there a better matchup? If you're a Packer fan today, you're like, well, that's stupid. Of course there was. I would have wanted Aaron Rodgers out there. I don't know. Green Bay just didn't look the part. At home, they just didn't look the part. Their coach didn't look the part. Kicking a field goal, and you're nodding your head right now saying, yeah, you're right, Sus Matt. It just didn't feel like Green Bay was in that arena. The same goes for Buffalo. Buffalo's in a different space, though, than Green Bay. Green Bay does have the aging quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Buffalo, on the other side, Josh Allen's going to be back. These teams, they have to go through the adversity. They just do. Very seldom is it, yeah, okay, year one, I'm taking a team to the Super Bowl. Look at Kyler Murray. You know, for the Cardinals, progress would be just making a playoff game next year, and if they lost in the first round, that would have to be considered progress. You can't just turn switches around overnight. And in Buffalo's case, a very good team, but not a great team top to bottom. Nobody could stay with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, you look at the two tight ends in the Super Bowl. Maybe just look at the tight end position with Tampa Bay. That's just a tough, tough deal. You know, Travis Kelce's like a power forward. He's like a 6'10 dude down in the low block with a wide old back. You throw it down into him and he's going to get a layup every time or get fouled, if we're using the basketball analogy. There, nobody could stay with Travis Kelce, or has been able to do so this whole year. And so the Chiefs are favored by 3. It just feels to me like I would love to see Tom Brady go out with a win, if in fact this is it for him, or if he wants to keep playing. I would love to see Tom Brady win in Tampa Bay, because I liked Bruce Arians when he was here. I did. I liked a lot of the guys who were here for the Cardinals, and they all left, and now they're in Tampa Bay, and now I'd like to see them have success. So in Mahomes' case, he's just a ton of fun to watch. If he were to run for his life, that's one thing. If Brady is to run for his life, that's completely another. You know, Tom's really that one hit away right now. Just one big hit, and that's probably it. Where in Pat Mahomes' case, a couple weeks ago, he did take a hit and was able to get up and keep playing. So the following week. But for Brady going for a seventh title, it's just, you have to understand, like, for some of you, you watched Michael Jordan in Last Dance last summer, and you were just wowed and amazed. And for us, you know, when that was going on and we were younger, it was, what are we witnessing here? It's the same thing now with Tom Brady. Like, you're witnessing the best of the best of the best. You know, the debate about best athlete ever, that one has been out there. Tom Brady's not the best athlete. You know, Simone Biles is a great athlete. Tiger Woods in his prime was a great athlete. Tom's just really smart. So, you know, that's a debate that I'm going to write about as this week goes along. U of A plays ASU tonight. So the Sun Devils, how do I put this without just being repetitive to you? Fandom with Arizona State is so hard. Kyle Dodd, I think, had it right last week when he said to me, it just is Arizona State luck, where things just don't go their way no matter how promising it looks through all the years. So I'm not making excuses. They should not have lost the other night to U of A at home. Shouldn't have. Bobby lost his mind over the officiating. That's what Bobby does. You can't keep going to that card. Was it a horribly missed call? No question about it. No question about it. But on the other end of the floor, was it a horribly defended final possession? No question about it. I know fans want to see it one way. I just sit here and say, I have no dog in the fight. There's enormous pressure in my mind for Bobby to win tonight in Tucson, just for them to keep this season alive. For them to even have a shot to go to postseason, they've got to hope, beyond hope, that in the next 5 weeks, the Pac-12 tournament does happen. And I don't know if that's going to take place. I was talking to someone at ASU on Thursday morning. And this person said, we have no idea from day to day. Like, ASU plays tonight at 9 p.m. in Tucson. Then they turn around and play tomorrow afternoon at 2 at home against Utah. So they're not going to have fresh legs. They're not going to get back home until 2 a.m., 3 a.m. maybe. By the time they get out of Tucson, get back up the road, get back to their dorms, get back to their rooms, it's going to be a less than 12-hour turnaround before they have to play a tough team in Utah. So, and they can't afford to keep losing. GCU has actually become the team in our little slice of heaven state this year that has the best shot at going to the tournament. Bryce Drew's team, they're undefeated in their conference. And yeah, you're going to say it's that conference. They play New Mexico State twice coming up this Friday and Saturday. That is basically going to be the deciding tournament, deciding games for them if they don't have a tournament, because it's always New Mexico State that makes it in. And U of A can't go to the tournament this year because they've self-sanctioned themselves on their level one violations, which will eventually come down with a bigger hammer. So it's really come down to GCU. The Suns are off until Wednesday. The Coyotes lost last night to Vegas. And that's that. Seth Joyner joins us next, then Gunnar Cruz. I'm Brad Sussmat. As promised, the original, as I like to call Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst, Seth Joyner, the former Cardinals Super Bowl champ, of course, big Philadelphia Eagle guy. He went crazy off of what the Eagles did this year, but now he's transitioned. Seth's got a show, too, that I want to talk to him about a little bit later in the program, but I wanted to have Seth on everything around the Super Bowl matchup. But before we turn the page on that, what'd you make out of the games yesterday? What stood out?
Well, one game I was shocked by. The other game wasn't surprised in the least little bit. The way that, you know, the first half of Tom Brady is about as good as you can, you know, even reasonably ask a quarterback to play. I was just really shocked. I mean, he was so on. It was unreal. And the only thing that stopped him was those three drops. I mean, they had three drops. Everything else that they did offensively and everything that he did was perfect. I waited the entire game. I waited for Aaron Rodgers to, you know, turn into Superman and do it again. And it just did not happen, you know, on his home field. I thought that they would find a way, you know, to claw back into that game and win that game. And, you know, it just didn't happen, Brad.
The other game, it felt to me like Josh Allen was, he's fun to watch. He's terrific. He's just not Patrick Mahomes. And they just aren't there on a roster top to bottom with Kansas City.
Well, he's not Patrick Mahomes. But then again, nobody is,
right?
You know, to be honest with you. That guy is just on a completely different level. I think we've seen Josh Allen make some great strides this year. We watched him get better in his third year. I thought that that was pivotal. I think that's pivotal to every player to hit that third year window, you know, and make the kind of strides and jumps that he has. Because I think that most of the time when a player plays after 3 years, he's pretty much going to be what he is. But we saw Josh Allen, you know, pretty much make the leap. But what I saw yesterday was a guy that was a little skittish in the pocket, a guy that, you know, Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, made a decision to come after him, come after him often and early, which sped up his clock and threw off his timing and his decision-making. And to me, you know, by halftime, it just looked like the game was too big for him at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because most quarterbacks, everyone can't be like Patrick Mahomes. You know, they can't in their second year take their team to the AFC Championship and lose to Tom Brady and then come back and, you know, go to two more in a row. But he'll learn and he'll be better for it. And, you know, he's got to learn how to go through those steps. You know, most quarterbacks and most teams do.
Seth Joyner with us for a few minutes as we talk about the Super Bowl, the original with us. Always great to catch up with Seth. The big story today, now that the matchup is set, the Chiefs confirm that they will not have Eric Fisher, that he did tear his Achilles. So they lose their left tackle. So let's just start with that and what you see with Tampa Bay and their defensive front, Pierre Paul and others coming after Patrick without his left tackle.
Well, listen, I mean, they've played without good players on the offensive line, you know, before and still has success. I think that the most important thing in my mind is rush lanes with Mahomes. You know, as great of a passer as he is from the pocket, I think he's much more dangerous when you let him out the pocket, when he's on the move, when he's improvising and guys are, you know, creating their adjustment routes. You know, because the closer he gets to the sideline, the deep guys seem to always come back to the ball along the sideline. Mm-hmm. The shallow crossers and the guys that are flat, they turn around and they take it upfield. And I think he's much more dangerous like that than he is when he's in the pocket. So, you know, for a defensive coordinator like Todd Bowles to try to figure out how do you get pressure on him quickly, but also rush him, excuse me, Brad, in the most disciplined of ways to make him play the quarterback game from the pocket and not on the run. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge, you know, that's really a challenge. And then how do you get up and how do you play these other guys? You know, everyone wants to play off. And when you play off of them, you know, their routes are timing routes. And Mahomes is getting the ball out of his hands on time. They're figuring out if it's zone, where to sit down, and you know they're in tune as far as that's concerned. And when it's man coverage, you know they're just going to take it all the way across the field, and with their speed, they're just going to run away from you. So it's a difficult proposition. And you know, last night Leslie Frazier and the Bills, they tried to play zone, but they played soft zone.
And
I mean, my thing: if you're going to play zone against him, you can't play drop to your landmarks and chop your feet and look at the quarterback, because he's masterful at looking you off one way because he wants to throw the ball over here. You have to play zone matchup. Get to my landmarks. The first guy to cross my face, that's my guy. and I'm going to turn and I'm going to run with him. Now, they put you at a quandary because when you're playing too high and you've got four guys underneath and they release all five eligible receivers out into the route, it's problematic because you've got one guy that's unaccounted for. So, you know, I'm watching yesterday's game and I'm thinking in my mind, okay, got to come up with a better way to defend these guys. And so I got on my whiteboard last night and I kind of created a defense, a zone defense, to where you can actually match up and where you can actually, how you can actually match up with these guys five underneath. So you make sure that you got every guy accounted for. Because the way that they play, they're either going to flood the zone with the running back to that side. So now you've got two guys in the zone to the right and you only got, and they've got three guys over there. So you can cover two. One's always going to be open. But I, you know, when I'm watching them, that, because what Andy is masterful at, Andy figures out ways to beat the covers that you play. And he's very good at it. So defenders or defensive coordinators, they got to figure out a way to take away what it is that he does mm-hmm. in the most aggressive way, but also protect yourself over top.
You have your whiteboard there, Seth. Is that whiteboard sitting by you right now? You can even walk out of the shot and go grab it. I just love to see your doodling last night and you're going through it with your mind because I can just see it.
It's in my head now. I conceptualized it, Brad, in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went to the board to see, you know, what it would look like.
Yeah.
So I've kind of figured it out. Really, all it is that, you know, you've got four underneath and we're going to drop at the snap of the ball. We're going to drop a safety in to the three receiver side to account for those three receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a cover three look, but the corners are going to lock up on the guys on the outside unless they cross. If they cross or they go inside, the number two guy on the inside is usually a flat player. That's now his player. Okay. And the first guy to the outside is going to just, the corner is going to pick him up from an off position. And listen, we'll give you the short stuff. What we're trying to prevent is we're trying to prevent the deep overs and the vertical routes. Now, if that outside receiver goes vertical, the corner's got him. The second guy that's to the flat, whoever the next guy comes, that's the second man through the zone. That's your guy. Whether he goes to the flat and he stays there or whether he goes out and up, that's your guy. In my mind, I'm thinking about all of these coverages that, you know, I ran for Buddy and all these coverages that I ran for Bud Carson and Fritz Schirmer and Jeff Fisher and Wade Phillip. And I'm like, there's got to be a way to cover this that nobody's looking at because they're a cheat code right now. They're running offense in a way that you can't stop them. But there's got to be a way if you just apply some thought to it.
Seth Joyner with us for a couple of minutes. The original NFL Network analyst doing his thing now. He has the Seth Joyner Show, which you can see on YouTube and Facebook. He's got a reality show that I'm going to get to in a couple of minutes as well. I just want to take the fans from your view through the tight ends in this game, because both of them get a lot of notoriety. Both of them, you just look at, people have heard of Gronk forever and Kelce as well. Those two players are going to get a lot of media attention. Walk me through the football attention, what the fans need to look at defensively on those two guys.
Well, I think that the game has evolved to the point where, you know, not only do you have bigger tight ends, I mean, both of those guys have got to be 6'5 or bigger. You got bigger tight ends, but you also got, you know, these big tight ends that can block and these big tight ends that can run, which makes it that much more difficult. I watched the Bills defensive back try to body up Travis Kelce all day yesterday. He was boxing him out like a 6'9" power forward. Mm-hmm. And you really can't cover them. I think a lot of the problem is that when they want to run the football, for fans that are watching the game, look at Travis Kelce and look at where he aligns. He aligns attached to the offensive formation. When the plan is to throw the football, they detach him, whether it's just 3 yards away from where his normal alignment or wider. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to create space and get him out somewhere where, you know, he doesn't get caught up in the wash and in the trash. Tony Romo talked about it incessantly yesterday about how you got to get up and you got to get your hands on him. You got to take your one jam at him. You have to, because what you're seeing with these tight ends today, especially, you know, these two guys who both have had phenomenal careers, is that they get free releases. And because you're off and because they're so physical, they run good routes. They stem their routes at the top. It almost makes it, you know, almost impossible to cover him. And you put a DB on him and they beat the DB up because he's too small. You put a linebacker on him, and most teams won't play a linebacker on him because they feel like they can't cover him. But from a physical standpoint, you almost have to put a linebacker on him. Now, my thing is, I'm watching yesterday's game, and the two things that struck me is that teams are reluctant to take away teams' best options, okay? If I'm a defensive coordinator, Travis Kelce is not catching 10 balls in one half of football on my team, because I'm going to make Patrick Mahomes go somewhere else. If he lines up attached, my defensive end is going to beat him up before he lets him out into the route. That throws the entire timing of the route off. And when you do that, when you throw the timing off, the quarterback, you essentially take him out of the progression, because the quarterback can't wait for him to get to where he needs to be. If he's the primary receiver, he's not there right now. Quarterback has to move on to the next option in the progression. So that's the first thing. The other thing is, I'll put a linebacker on him, but I'm going to double him. I'm going to have my linebacker beat him up from the outside and drop a safety from the other side in, so we take him away. Now, if he decides to cross and run away, now the linebacker drops off and he becomes, you know, the robber to the other side, because they run a lot of crosses and he's sitting there waiting on Tyreek Hill to come across the other way. So now you've got help in both directions. But I watch these defensive coordinators try to defense these tight ends, Brad, and it drives me nuts, because there's a method to take them away, but they're not using it. They're just trying to play straight man-to-man, which you cannot do. You cannot ask a linebacker, a safety, or a corner to line up outside shade on Travis Kelce, outside shoulder, and cover him man-to-man with single high safety. It's impossible, because, you know what, he's such a good route runner and he's so fast that he can run away from corners and safeties, and he's for sure going to run away from a linebacker. You know, so mix it up every once in a while. Before the snap, jump inside. That way you can either stone the route or you kind of stymie him because you're not where he expects you to be, and throw off the timing of the route. But they keep playing it the same way in a predictable way. And Andy and Patrick and Bruce Gronkowski, yeah, and, you know, Tom, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call their plays based upon what they predictably know that you're going to do. And they're going to beat you almost 99% of the time.
Seth Joyner with us. Okay. Tom Brady's 43. You and I are old. No offense, friend, but you and I are old, right? And so when I've seen Tom Brady doing what he's doing at 43, Seth, could he be in his 50s and still play? Do you see any regression in him? I think it's unfair to say, well, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is 20 years younger than him almost. So, well, go ahead on that one.
Well, I mean, listen, I think Tom Brady's Achilles heel is and always has been and always will be protection.
Yep.
If you can protect him, he knows what to do with the ball, where to go with the ball. And even at 43 years of age, he can throw the football. You know, I mean, he can put it downfield. I mean, I saw him make a throw the first after Godwin dropped that ball down the sideline. And then he came back and Tom hit him on the deep one down the middle of the field. His feet weren't set. I mean, he was out of sync and off balance and threw that ball almost 50 yards in the air. So if anyone thinks that, you know, Father Time is, you know, beating up on Tom Brady, they've got it all wrong. Now, Father Time beats up on us all. And in his own way, because when you watch Tom trying to run out of the pocket, you can tell that Father Time, you know, is on his back right now.
Sure.
But as far as his ability to throw the football, and I love what Tom said a couple of years ago. People kept asking, well, how long are you going to play? How many more years, Tom? And he was like, why would I quit now? I have all the tests. I have all the answers to the test. Why would, for God's sake, why would I quit now? Mm. So as long as they can protect him, you know, I think that, you know, he can play. And I realistically, I think 45 would probably be his limit. I think that's where he's looking to maybe play two more years. But I think that he can play and certainly be effective. I don't know about 50, but I think he could probably play to 45 because he's at that point in time right now where, Brad, he's one hit away. He's just one hit. He's one hit away from, you know, it all being over, not well, being like able to see.
It's like Mahomes in the one hit last week, right?
Absolutely.
So the running lanes of Mahomes, does he run too much for your liking?
No, because I think that you know, he plays the quarterback position as an athletic quarterback the way that it should be played. I mean, he plays it the way that I would love for a team to, you know, get a hold of Lamar Jackson and train him. You know, don't have a system for him, but have, you know, train him as a quarterback to play within a system, and when things break down, use your tremendous athleticism, you know, to make something happen. Mm-hmm. I've seen this happen with a lot of quarterbacks, RG3, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick. You create a system for them instead of requiring them to learn the pro-level system of playing the quarterback position, which gives them longevity.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Yeah. Exactly. You know, don't create a system. Make him learn how to play the quarterback position mechanically and everything else at the pro level. And then when all else falls apart, now you can improvise and use your God-given ability to make something happen when there where there's nothing, you know, there. But when you look at Mahomes, he's the classic, he's the picture-perfect quarterback that does that. He wants to play the game from the pocket. Trust me, he does not want to be on the run. But when he has to, he makes things happen. He extends plays. He picks up first down with his legs because he has to, not because he wants to. And to me, that's the big difference between him and every other mobile quarterback and how they play the game.
Andy Reid versus Bruce Arians. Who you got? Take your heart out of it with Andy, okay?
Well, to be honest with you, my heart's never really been in it with Andy. Okay. He was the coach of the Eagles. I never played for him. He was the quarterback coach in Green Bay when I was there for the year. I think that Andy has gotten to a place in his coaching career where he's evolved in ways that no one could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, the biggest knock on him was that he just would not run the football. You know, he relied on the quarterback way too much. When I look at him as a play caller now, they are a much more balanced football team than they've ever been in Andy's, you know, play calling career. When I look at Bruce, I love what I see, what he's done with that football team. But there was a point in time in that game yesterday where I became disappointed with their methodology. The first interception by Brady, I tweeted, I said, I do not understand why offenses have to be greedy, okay? You have a lead. Why the heck are you throwing the ball down the field at such an alarming rate? But that's Bruce's mentality. No risk it, no biscuit.
Always, you know,
that's his mentality when he comes out after halftime and the sideline reporter said, you know, Bruce said, we just need to stay aggressive, okay? You can be aggressive without being dumb, you know, because the more you put the ball in the air, the more opportunity for every quarterback to have a strip sack or turn the football over. Mm-hmm. Run the football. You're leading the game. Play action pass is what has allowed you to throw the ball down the field. But you're going to put Tom Brady in the shotgun and just telegraph to your opponent that you're going to throw the ball? On, you know, play after play after play, it drove me insane. But the thing about Andy, And this is why I give him, you know, the nod, is that he's going to do whatever it takes to win the football game. He's not going to get greedy. He's going to rely on his quarterback to say, okay, you know what? I see that they're in a coverage that gives us an advantage, because most teams, Tampa Bay is going to want to play zone against them. But there's going to come a point in time in that game where Tampa Bay may be behind. And Todd Bowles, in his aggressive nature, he's going to come after Patrick Mahomes with a blitz where they're going to have more than they're able to pick up. And Patrick Mahomes is going to look out and say, okay, I got the matchup that I want with Tyreek Hill. I got the matchup that I want now to take a shot down the field with Mecole Hardman or, you know, Travis Kelce. And that's where you hurt your opponent, is when you force them to do something that they don't really want to do, something that's out of their character. Now take your shot down the field. But Tom Brady threw 3 interceptions and 12 passes. In 12 passes, he threw 3 interceptions. Huh. And Todd and Bruce Arians is wanting to throw the ball down the field. Now, I get it. You're playing against Aaron Rodgers. You got to keep putting points on the board. But don't get greedy. Let's move the chains and meticulously move down the field and score every possession. We don't have to hit the home run in order to send the message. We just need to have more points than they do when it says 0-0-0. And that's the thing that frustrates me with Bruce.
All right, before I get you out of here, Wolfpack, you're doing a reality show in Philly. So what is this all about?
So I was approached by a group. They put together, the Wolfpack is a spinoff of Shark Tank.
Got it.
So you've got a group of wolves. Let me get the
Are you a wolf? Are you a wolf in this show?
So I'm not a wolf. Okay. I am. They brought me in as a coach/advisor.
All right.
So there's 5 wolves, and you know they're investors, and what they wanted to do is create this show to create business opportunities for Philadelphia-based businesses.
Got it.
Startups. One of the applicants is a very good friend of mine. He's in a sports memorabilia business. So him and his business partner, they came together to create a interactive technology sports memorabilia company. So the Wolfpack actually brought me in to be their coach and their liaison for the show. And it wound up being a pretty good deal. I enjoyed it, you know, and the producer, the executive producer and the Wolfpack, you know, felt like I did such a great job that so Amazon Prime picked up the 4 episodes. My episode is the 4th episode, but they've got another 6 episodes in the can. And if Amazon Prime picks up the rest of the shows, then they want me to come on and be a permanent fixture on the show. So I got my fingers crossed that happens. Yeah. I love my football, but you know, it may be time for me to transition into, you know, this acting career I've been holding off for the last 10 years.
You've been dabbling for a while now on some things, which is cool. But look at you, all this business stuff coming your way. That's great. That's great. So who do you like in the game?
Listen, after watching these 2 teams play yesterday, there's a side of me that looks at the Kansas City Chiefs and believes that, you know, like I did at the beginning of the year, that there's not a team out there that really can beat them. The Raiders pulled it off once, and that's been about it. But there's also a side of me that believes that, you know, the fire burns deep with Tom Brady, and he realized that this could be the last one. That maybe BA could look at the circumstances of yesterday's game and realize that there's a methodology to doing what they need to do without having to be greedy about it. So I'm, you know, as much as I, you know, and I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I'm not a fan of, you know, any particular team. I just really like to see great football.
Yeah.
But in this game, I'd love to see Tom Brady win this game, you know, biasly. But I'm not so sure that, you know, from a team perspective, just taking the quarterbacks out of it from a team perspective,
yeah,
I'm not so sure that Tampa Bay has enough firepower overall. Now, it doesn't mean offensively, because I think that offensively, Tom Brady and those wide receivers and getting Antonio Brown healthy, hopefully before the Super Bowl, that they're going to be more than a handful for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm not so sure that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense can stop the Kansas City Chiefs from scoring almost every possession, which means that that's what Tom Brady would have to do, taking him back to his days of battling Peyton Manning, where whoever has the ball last essentially wins the game. So I think that, you know, in my opinion, you know, Kansas City is just about as unbeatable as you can be at this point.
It's good to see you. It's good to hear your voice and to do everything that you're doing and not talk to you about the Eagles blowing games and screwing up. And I talked to you last in late November in Hawaii, and I thought you were going to have a brain aneurysm. You were so done with the Eagles. So good stuff on the Super Bowl. Best of luck with the show, and appreciate your time as always.
Well, thank you, Brad. And thank you for having me come on where I don't have to talk about the Eagles. You know, most people that have me on their show, they think that all I know is the Eagles.
No, listen, I'm
a NFL guy. I watch any and every team that plays in the NFL, and I'm acutely cued in to what's going on with each team. So thanks for having me, my friend.
That's why I call him the original, because he knows it inside and out. That's Seth Joyner, and we're back with more after this timeout. Gunnar Cruz with us now for a couple of minutes. The new quarterback at the University of Arizona over the weekend, he put himself into the transfer portal and then committed to the U of A on Saturday afternoon. Okay, so when did this all start that in the back of your mind, you know, this may not be the right spot for me?
So I guess all season, you know, I kind of thought about it and, you know, went through it, but really, when I was at home with my parents, we talked about it, and, you know, we were like, this might be the best opportunity, the best situation for me right now. So came back up to Pullman. I was up here for a week, and then Friday morning, you know, got in contact with my coaches and the compliance office, and then decided I was going to go in the transfer portal.
So there was not a conversation when you left. And I want to give this, Gunnar, for the parents out there that have to figure this stuff out, because you are at the front end of this whole transfer portal thing. So this is more of a tutorial, I think, for parents. You felt like this may not be the right place. You go back to Pullman. You're there a week. You pick up the phone. You say, I need to meet with you guys. This was not a coaching conversation with you about, hey, this may not be the right fit, right?
Right. Yes, sir. You know, the Washington State staff was great. And so they, you know, they were bummed that I was leaving, and I'm bummed that I'm leaving them. I learned a lot from them, but it was more, I discussed it with my parents, and we decided that for me, it was best to probably move on.
When did you first hear from the University of Arizona?
Probably a couple hours after I put my name in the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm. And other schools jump on you as well?
Yeah, I had some contact with Western Kentucky, and a couple other schools reached out to me, and things just moved so quick that it was tough to, you know, look at everything. And once I was on the phone with U of A and Coach Fish and Coach Doherty and everybody, it was just, I could tell that was a really good situation for me. So I was more serious about that.
Gunnar Cruz with us for a couple of minutes. He is transferring to the University of Arizona, quarterback, starred at Castile High School, went to Washington State, put himself over the portal over the weekend. He commits to Jed Fish. What is it about the University of Arizona that you looked at and said, this is the right spot for me, because you did have other options? Why U of A?
Well, just getting on the phone with them right away, you could feel the energy. And obviously I keep track of what's going on with Arizona football, because I'm from there. And I was really interested with, you know, the hire of Coach Jed Fish. And so once I got on the phone with them, I could feel their energy. And then X's and O's wise, obviously the resume of guys that he's worked with and staffs that he's worked with and been on, it speaks for itself. So football wise, it was all there. And then the family aspect, he got on Zoom with my parents and the whole offensive staff. And then once they got that, they were into it, and it was all felt good.
I'd heard things over the night on Friday night into Saturday morning that U of A was interested in you. When did you first hear from them?
I heard from them a couple hours after I put my name into the transfer portal. So Friday afternoon-ish.
Okay, so from that end, Gunner, do you talk to your parents? Was this a you decision? Who did you lean on and say, you know what, this is the right fit for me? Because you could have. You just put your name in the portal Friday. You could have sat for a couple of weeks and saw what else was out there. You committed pretty quickly to transfer from Washington State to U of A.
Yes, sir. I called my parents. Obviously, they were the biggest part of this whole process, just like with recruiting in high school. So I got on the phone with them and I realized that, yeah, I could have waited. I could have seen what else was out there, talked to some other schools, but U of A, it's time sensitive right now, obviously, because I want to get there for spring ball. I want to get there as soon as possible. And the longer you wait, the harder it is to enroll, stuff like that. So I knew the decision, if I wanted to get there for spring ball, needed to be made pretty quick. And so once we felt comfortable and I knew it was a good situation over there, then we just pulled the trigger.
What did Coach Fish and staff tell you that made you say, I'm going to U of A, I'm going to Tucson?
Well, the biggest thing was they made sure to emphasize that it's not a rebuild, it's a refocus. Mm. They have athletes down there, they have players down there, there's a lot of support for the team, the community. And so it's not like we're restarting from square one. We're refocusing and we're going to get after it and we're going to compete. And then the coaching, the staff, and the system that they're going to run offensively, I think, matches up with how I play as a player really well.
So Arizona State beat U of A handily by a ton. It was like 70-7. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've been here at Castile High School. I know you well enough to know that you know the lay of the land. Arizona State recruited you. Was this hard for you to get into the, I need to go be a Wildcat here in the state of Arizona? You know all about the rivalry between ASU and U of A.
I do. I know about the rivalry, and now I'm excited to be a part of it. I think it's awesome to have that one game that no matter where both teams are throughout the season, that's one that's always circled, and it could always go either way. So I think it's awesome. I'm excited. Obviously, my mom's a Sun Devil, so it's going to be a little weird right there, but my aunt and uncle are Wildcats, so it's a little bit split, but now we're all Wildcats.
And you got some of that from the Apple Cup, right? A little bit of the feel of what it's like.
I did, yeah. Obviously, got one Apple Cup because it got canceled this year, but those rivalry games are special, and you could just tell there's always a lot of energy, not even just on the team, but in the community, and I think it's really good for the whole state.
Do you know many people, many players on the team at U of A?
I know it's a couple. I don't know a ton. Obviously, I played against Will Plummer when I was in high school, and we kind of hung around the same people. So I know Will a little bit. I've actually been texting with him these past couple of days.
Okay. And what's that like? Because people are going to say, well, there's a quarterback already there on campus, but it is a wide open quarterback room, at least from my view.
No, definitely. And I mean, I feel like the same as it is everywhere. Your competitors on the field, but that doesn't mean that you guys can't be friends off the field. Same thing kind of happened up here at Washington State. You know, the guys in the quarterback room are some of my best friends. So obviously when you're on the field, you're competing, especially the quarterback position, it's tough because only one guy can be out there at a time. But off the field, you know, in my experiences, and I know Will's a really great guy, it's a lot more, you know, you're friends, you're helping each other with stuff. And that's important in a good quarterback room.
Got to cruise with us for a couple of minutes before I get you out of here. So leaving Pullman, what's your memory of Washington State is in terms of your roadmap, your journey?
It's tough. It's obviously tough to leave Washington State. I've made so many memories here and so many good relationships I've built and so many ups and so many downs, but it's definitely helped me grow up. You know what I mean? I'm not the same kid that I was when I came up here. Mm. And so I've grown up a lot being up here on my own, and I'm super grateful and thankful for everybody that has impacted me while I've been here and is being able to be a part of this community.
So what do you do with all the gear? What do you do with all the Washington State stuff? Do you like, you can't keep all the crimson stuff that says Washington State on it, can you? You gotta have a garage sale before you get out of there.
We'll keep a little bit of it. Yeah? I was talking to my parents about that actually, and they were like, no, that's a part of your journey. We want it all. Bring it all.
Yeah. And you'll be like, yeah, that was part of my road stop. Before I get you out of here, as a college quarterback, the Super Bowl is now set. as a fan, when you're watching Patrick Mahomes and you're watching Tom Brady, obviously that's where you want to get to. What do you make out of the Super Bowl this year, Gunner?
I'm really excited for it. This whole season of NFL has been really interesting to watch. And, I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, great. And he's super talented. He's the next great thing. But I love Tom Brady. And I'm going with the Bucks all the way. I'm hoping the Bucks win. So I think it'd be really cool to see Tom win another one.
All right. Well, congratulations on making a huge decision, huge life decision. Get back down here and then go to Tucson and kill it. Thanks for the visit. Thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
There's Gunner Cruz with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.